when you do that, and I say that with like kind of a low grade fever and the whole thing playing hurt here, you know that injuries are a real factor in all this. They are. Like the 20% that's with Butch, the Baghdad Bobs of the world, Bino, that are with you regardless. Bino?
Yes, sir.
Injuries are no excuse for what we saw down the stretch from this defense. They're just not. I don't care if you've got 10 walk-on players.
No, no, Tony. They're not. I mean, our woes go way beyond injuries.
Yeah, it's not even way close. Let's go back to the phones. We'll get as many people in here as humanly possible. Russell Smith is here from The Drive. Dubsy, tell the living listener where they can find you.
Fox Sports Knoxville weekdays from 3 to 6. I don't know why I found that funny. But
I mean, what's funny about that?
I don't know.
Asking you to plug your thing. You got thousands of people listening.
Yeah, man. 3 to 6 weekdays, 1340 a.m. here in town, online at foxsportsknoxville.com. It's just, I don't know, man. It's just, this is the weirdest
it's
one of these
Twilight
we've
Zone.
Ever done.
No, I'm going to tell you, it's a weird one of these. It's been a weird season. That was 12 games. That felt like 12 years.
To go from the highest of highs, you know, twice Georgia and Florida to the low, to where we are now, like at least, you know, so if you have a firm leadership structure, you had a chancellor and an AD and all that stuff, okay, you blow them out of there.
That's
you,
exactly
you
right.
You fire up the.
Only here can you be stuck
this,
in this. Yep.
This weird purgatory that yep. we're in is, it's insane. Only here.
One of these days. You guys are going to believe me when I tell you this is a big government experiment.
Well
and
if
it's
we don't
still going on.
If we don't snap now, Bino, what?
let's get our next call.
We're
going
to run out of funding.
Smartway Garza Law Firm, fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello and welcome into our next caller. And that is you. Hello. Hello and welcome into our next caller. Okay, you're gone. Hello and welcome in. You're on the Smartway Garza Law Firm fifth quarter fan reaction.
Yeah, hey.
Hey, welcome
Everything
in.
Everything that's going on, then. Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. First of all, I just want to put a little different perspective on all this still is. We got to be a little bit thankful for Butch. After Dooley, at least he came in here. He loves Tennessee. He came in here trying everything, giving it his all, and you got to give him some props for that. But the problem is like you guys said, the in-game coach, kind of look at it as politics. You got an outsider like Trump. He doesn't know what he's doing as far as all the political know everything. He's got to put good people surround himself with good people. What have we said about Coach Jen? What, you know what I mean? He got rid of him, brought in Shoup. Shoup has a track record. So it's hard to nail him on Shoup. But our wide receivers didn't progress like they should. Good recruiter. But have we really seen it until maybe the last couple games where Malone stepped it up? Jennings is a quarterback that came in, they switched over, so maybe he is overachieving. But besides that, who else has? You know what I mean?
Oh, you're even the positions where you're not beset with injury, you're right. And then I'm not picking at this kid, but if you look at tonight's the end of the game, first of all, you've got to kick a field goal there. You just have to. You just
No. I agree.
I mean, that's 100 out of 100 times you got to keep yourself alive, but you didn't, and you put it on the backs of a playmaker, and you put the ball in his hands, and he runs out of bounds, and you kind of go, okay, did I just see that in major college football?
When I seen Kamara do that, you know what that reminded me of? That reminded me of the old Chris Webber. The Michigan where
absolutely
he pulled the timeout.
Great analogy because Chris Webber
is
a great
exactly
player.
What that reminded
yeah.
me of,
and that kind of thing when you do that in the moment will haunt you. That's a pretty good analogy from because he kind of forgot where he was for a second. I think that's probably true.
Yeah, and as soon as he went out of bounds, you've seen him kind of put his arms up and go, damn, I just knew, or, sorry, I don't, I knew what I just did there. You know what I mean? I just, whatever. But, that, there should not be, I mean, on first, second down with time on the clock, that's fine to have that third option, you know, to get rid of it. But they were on fourth down. They had a first down. They need to run a route past there and get it. There should not be an under route thrown. Am I not correct?
No, you're, it's.
I mean, I know he's our most dynamic.
No.
He's our most dynamic player.
Football 101 is you've got to get past the sticks there. You know? You just have to.
Yeah, you get past the sticks. Run that hook route. Whatever
something.
You want to do. You know what
Anything.
I mean? But be past the sticks when you're coming back.
I just can't believe we just got beat by Vanderbilt, right. And it was a two-score game. Like, it wasn't even close. Did we just see that? Did we see that?
I'm probably one person. Yeah. No, I agree with you. I will say I'll probably be the one person that defends Shoup just looking at his past, his resume, like you would like to say, or you, everyone likes to say with Butch Jones and where he's come from. Looking at Shoup, I was fired up for Shoup.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
I'm not, whatever, it's like, maybe now I know why we were running a 4-2, because he knew that our back end, that our cornerbacks weren't coached up like they should be, that they were going to throw all over us if we did, you know what I mean? And so all the pressure, and he's like, oh, we got to stop Webb, we got to, you know, and, you know, it beat us, you know. It's just, I love Butch Jones. I wish he could have been successful here. It, like you guys are explaining, it makes it very hard without the leadership, without having an AD and all that.
How did they get to that?
It's hard. I don't, you know.
Thank you, brother.
I won't be.
Good talking to you, man. I gotta get as many people in here as possible. There's just so much lost. There's just such a sense of loss to feel after this and a sense of frustration. One thing I hope you don't hear from me, I'm saying this, I want us to treat Butch Jones with respect because I think he's a decent person. I don't want moving Van sent to his house. I'm going to encourage people to please be kind to him on social media and your interactions with him. He's just a guy who tries. And he's just a guy. He's just not good enough. He's just not.
I'm not going to attack the guy personally,
yeah.
But I will say that I think it was mighty damn small of him to sit up there for 4 minutes and then tuck tail and run. Nobody didn't even get to ask him about the decision not to go for the field goal at the end, and he sends his guys Dobbs out there to face the live bullets while he's doing whatever the hell he's doing right now, and his players take a hell of a lot more responsibility for the situation than he did. Brett Kendrick out there said it's unacceptable to beat Florida and Georgia and not go to the SEC championship game is unacceptable. Where's that kind of rhetoric from the caretaker of Tennessee football?
Here's Butch Jones, part two of two. Again, Paul Fortenberry's Twitter account. Let's listen to this a little bit, and then we'll go back to the phones.
Adequate mixture mode. What do you think?
You know, I don't ever want to use injuries as an excuse because football is a game of that. It's next man in. But when you're down three defensive tackles, you know, you're down your best linebacker, your best two linebackers in our conference. But, again, it's an opportunity for other individuals. And you give up 600 yards and
you got to be kidding me.
It's 40-some plus points. That's unacceptable in Tennessee. We're not, that's not going to happen.
Butch, were you fearful that in one of these shootouts, I mean, whether it was Kentucky, Missouri, now Vanderbilt, that your offense would stall like it did tonight? Did you know it was kind of an if not win because it's so hard to keep that up for so long?
It just comes down to execution. And in the second half, they out-executed us. We didn't do a good job of sustaining drives. Again, you can't turn the football over. But then we have to be able to answer sudden change as well.
Butch, did you think about kicking a field goal there late, down 11, and then going for it?
I did, but I just felt that we needed, you know, we needed at that point in time, you know, to be able to score, go for two, and then try an onside kick.
What was the mood of the locker room, especially, you know, tonight you go in thinking the possibility of a Sugar Bowl, and now that's out there.
You know, our goal never changes to be 1-0, so that wasn't even our thought process. It was about Vanderbilt. And obviously, that locker room is a very disappointed locker room, and you would expect that.
What did you think about the way down?
Okay, people that keep texting my phone, y'all are pissing me off right now. Because I'm playing that off my phone, and y'all are flat pissing me off. Quit texting me, damn it! Stop it! Stop it! Look at my phone. Those of you on the Twitter, the whatever this thing is, I have 100... Look at my number of texts. How many texts do I have, Dubsy? Look at my look at my Twitter. Something like 447 of those. And 109 text messages right now, unread.
Trying to...
No, thank you.
Trying to conduct a radio program.
I mean, that's what the beeping is. And somebody said, get you an iPhone.
Yeah, man.
Here's your iPhone. Let's go to the phones. I'm in no mood for that nonsense. Bino, so Butch's goal, he didn't even think about the Sugar Bowl. What do you think of this guy, Bino? You like it? You like this guy, Bino?
Tony, I've told you for weeks that he's just a damage control disaster and a PR nightmare.
You know what James Franklin said tonight? After the Ohio State game went final, he said, we had a surge of energy on our bench, and we're going to carry it into the second half. He told the reporter that at halftime today of the Penn State game, because I was laying down in the back sleeping because I knew we'd be up late tonight, and laying back listening to that game. He said, we felt a surge of energy, and our guys know what's at stake. Why can't you just be a man? Why can't this guy just be a man? What's so hard about being a man?
It's just in over his head, Tony. He needs to be somewhere where the team he coaches is about fifth on fans' priority list.
Am I being too hard on him, Russell? Am I being too hard, guys, and saying,
no,
you can't say to your team, guys, we have a chance to go to New Orleans if we beat these turkeys tonight. After everything that's happened to us, we can be 9-3. We can be sitting on the grand stage on New Year's Day. We can realize a lot of great stuff, take a step forward here. I want this senior class to go out with that, something special.
Like Bino said, the guy's clearly in over his head. You know, a lot of people might have been trying to talk themselves out of it, but there's just no denying it at this point. The results speak for themselves. You're 4 years in. He's never going to have a more talented roster than he had this year, and he went 8-4. This is the best he can do. And if you're fine with that, then yeah, I mean, by all means, keep him. But if you aspire to be more than 8-4 and to get back to where we've all know Tennessee could be, because we've seen it, albeit 20 years ago now, then you throw in the towel on this guy and you move on, and you keep trying until you find the right guy.
You know, Russell and Tony, unless you have a coronation hire like we had with Johnny Majors or Fulmer, or like Michigan had with Jim Harbaugh, like Ohio State had with Urban Meyer, those type, you're always going to hire a guy where you've got some questions going in. And your fears with Butch Jones when you hired him was that he hadn't coached at this level, and he hadn't dominated the levels that he coached below that. So your fear is the job going to be too big for him? Your hope is that he can overcome that and prove that you were wrong. But I'm afraid with every game that goes by, he's proven that those original fears were right.
He looked like a beaten man tonight, I know that. Let's go back to the phones, 865-200-5402. I never got the body language out of him that, hey, there's a sense of urgency about what we're doing. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. You're on the Smart Way Garza Law Firm, fifth quarter fan reaction. Yes, welcome in.
Is this Tone?
This is Tone. Welcome in.
Tony.
Yes, welcome in.
Tony.
Yes, welcome in.
Hello.
Yes, Tone. Hello. Welcome in.
Hello, Tone.
Welcome in.
Please go ahead.
Hello. Tone.
Okay, please go ahead.
Tone?
Yes.
Yes! Oh, gosh, I'm so sorry. Tony?
Yes.
This is fake Dave Nathan.
Yes.
Your favorite, and, Wendy.
And your favorite,
Wendy.
And John Duggan.
Okay.
Hi.
Okay, so we're having a party. Now, she said hang up. This isn't like, going real well.
This is the Tennessee fourth quarter of phone calls right now.
Are you there? Are you making a drink? What are
yeah,
we doing?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Tone. I'm so, so sorry. Listen, mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now mm-hmm. that I've told you from the get-go that Butch Jones, he's gone. He's gone after this year. And that me and the big slick daddy over here, John Duggan, he knows he's gone. We're gone. He's gone.
He's gone? Where's he going? Tell me where he's going.
He's going to Houston. He's going to Houston.
You know, you're the second person that said that to me tonight. And let me say one thing about Houston real quick. Did you guys see Houston's release today? Anybody say it?
I did.
I saw it.
Had something there about champions of life.
They sure did. They had something in there about champions of life. They sure did. And somebody told me tonight at the listener watch party at Bearden Hill Fieldhouse who knows a lot of people. You're the second person tonight to say this to me. Somebody said tonight that they believe that Butch Jones and Houston have something cooking, and there is the term, we want a coach that turns people into champions of life. Absolutely. Direct quote. Oh, Bino, am I making that up?
I'll help.
No, it was in the release.
I'll go help pack his bags right now.
Okay. I'm not making that up. Am I making that up? Please stop me if I'm making that up.
You're not making it up, Tony, but I want to tell you, as a Tennessee fan, this is the lowest I've felt since the Dooley years. Tonight is just a terrible feeling, and the worst part about it is that I feel like 9-3, 8-4, 7-5, that's about the best we're going to get under the Butch Jones years. And as far as I'm concerned, unless we make a change at the top, this is the best we're going to do, and I believe it's time to make the change.
Wow.
Well, I don't know if you know that, but that's a slam man swinging it.
Bino, is that you?
No, but I wish it was.
Well, here's your stat.
Hey, Tone.
Yeah.
I love you, brother, but that right there is the gospel.
What's the gospel?
What he just said right then was the gospel.
Which was?
We can't get to the next level unless we ditch Butch Jones.
That Houston press release guy says in it, champions of life. Nah, I'm not making that up. Bino, am I making that up?
No, it was in there. I saw it.
And you know what? Houston knew for 5 or 6 weeks they were losing their coach. It's not outside the realm of possibility that those two could have something cooking, because that's really an odd phrase to have in a release. I didn't want to believe that, but that's the second person that said that to me. Go ahead.
It would go away from what their general hiring practice is, and they've been pretty successful under several up-and-coming young coaches. So it would be a different type of hiring than they've made in the past that they've been successful with.
Mike Hugenin, Vanderbilt gained 500 yards, 501 yards against Tennessee State and 608 against Tennessee tonight.
Yeah.
Hey, how about that? Just chew on this for a minute. Play the what-if game for you.
Mm-hmm.
What if Ed Orgeron hadn't pooped the bed last week, had beaten Florida, and this meltdown cost Tennessee a chance to go to Atlanta?
I thought about that, Russell.
But they would have played differently. The air was out of what they're doing, I think.
I don't know if they would have or not, Tony. They had everything on the line when they went to South Carolina.
What would you guys, how do you guys respond to Butch Jones saying that he felt the odds were better to kick a touch, to score a touchdown, go for two, and then kick an onside kick?
Did his chart tell him that? The man's a mental midget. I mean, he just.
He's a dummy. Under what circumstances does not keeping that game alive there, does that make sense to him? He's the only guy in America that does that. Right?
You have to kick the field goal there, get yourself within one score, and then you've got to have two scores.
Wow. Let's go back to our phones.
Even Medley's, we got a better chance than fourth and four.
I guess my biggest problem is I'm looking for an excuse for this, for why tonight happened. I'm going to read this statement from Houston for people who don't believe me. This is really interesting. Immediately, we will turn our focus to identifying the next leader of our program. We're confident we will find the right individual who will support the young men who we have committed to this program and who also support our mission of building champions for life both on and off the field. With a Tier 1 university, fertile recruiting ground, upgraded facilities, including a new indoor practice facility slated to be completed next fall, and a roster full of driven and talented student-athletes, the next leader of the Houston football program will have an outstanding opportunity to compete for championships, maintain our program's national prominence, and continue the H-Town takeover. We are partnering with Collegiate Sports Associates on our national search. All inquiries from interested candidates should be directed to Todd Turner at Collegiate Sports Associates. Champions for life.
Is there anything about mature competitors in there?
Do you not think that's interesting they would use that term?
I mean, that's honestly, that's the only thing that's given me any hope for this place, this city right now, is that Houston might be dumb enough to take him off our hands. But then you're still left with the problem of who leads a search for the next guy, because we have a gigantic power vacuum now. Maybe it'll be Beverly Davenport.
Beverly D'Angelo Davenport. Did some great work on vacation. Let's get our next...
Remember when Wayne Newton stole her away from Chevy Chase?
Let's get our next line in. I mean, our next caller in. Sad. Hello and welcome into our next caller.
Sparky.
Tony.
Yeah, welcome in.
Hey, so Butch comes to Knoxville, and he brings basically nine coaches with him, thinking he's going to compete in this conference. And can you tell me one person on this team over the last 3 years, or even one position that's gotten better over the last 3 years?
Well, let's see. Dobbs hasn't. The defensive line has been beset with injuries. Secondary's not better. Wide receivers.
Tony, our players, it's obvious. Nobody's getting coached up. We're getting out coached like every week against coaches such like Vanderbilt that's got less talent, but they get more out of their players. And it's not going to get any easier for him next year. We've got to play LSU. Florida's getting better. Right now, I believe Florida would kill us right now if we didn't play right now. And we're not getting any closer to Alabama. We're going to be lucky to make a bowl game next year. You might, I mean, the writing's on the wall. If you're going to get rid of him, So if he's going to walk, he needs to do it now. And we need to go, but, you know, we're putting over $100 million renovation in the Neyland Stadium. Why don't we put that money into a coach?
Not how Tennessee does things. Tennessee's always put money in facilities and not people.
Oh, I agree. I know, not, but people's going to stop showing up in that nice facility.
Well, that's,
they don't put
now
in
that's
in
very,
coach.
Yeah, that, that, the sad thing is, for what I do, what Russell does, is that this takes the air out of the balloon, and it makes it nearly impossible for us to, and not that anybody cares about us, but it makes it nearly impossible for us to make a living. And I'm going to tell you something, as somebody that's on my own 100%, people don't understand how the losing really affects everything. Not only the ticket buying, but the interest level, from prospective advertisers for what we do. People think they have this myth, they have this twisted view of what we do, and they say, well, you guys are cheering against. That's bullshit. I ain't cheering against nothing. I've never cheered against something. And I'm so frustrated right now, I could throw up. I mean, I'm not kidding. And that we're having this conversation is mind-boggling to me, because the thing is about Butch Jones, I've always known that he's combustible. I've always kind of thought that he wasn't really a good game manager. I never thought, though, that it would all come to pass this year. To be honest with you, I thought it would be next year where the bomb would go off on him.
It's, I mean, going to.
But
going to.
The bomb went off on him now. The bomb has already gone off.
Oh, but it's going to get a lot worse next year, Tony. It's going to be a lot worse. And I think being over somebody mentioned earlier where we're not 4-8 right now. And the problem with Butch Jones is it's not only his coaching style, it's not only his game decisions, but he doesn't surround himself with quality coaches. They're not SEC level coaches. And you look at all the great coaches around this country, they've got quality, they've got some of the best assistant coaches. Look at Harbaugh in Michigan. He's got, I think, 7 out of 10 assistant coaches are NFL ex coaches. These coaches understand that if you want to compete, you're in, you're out at this level. You've got to have quality coaches, and you have to turn the offense. You got to turn the offense over to your offensive coordinator. You got to let your assistant coaches do their job. And Butch Jones, he's got his hands on everything.
Perfect example. Well, let me give you a perfect example. Greg Schiano up there at Ohio State is on their staff. Most coaches would be afraid of having a sitting head coach. Nick Saban goes and gets Lane Kiffin, who, by the way, has worn his welcome out in Tuscaloosa. They've had to bail him out of a couple things and keep things hush-hush, and they're just kind of going to push him out of town, I do believe. But the next guy's already in place.
Yeah.
The coach from USC. Look.
Yeah.
Tennessee had an opportunity. They could have gone when Steve Spurrier was let go last year and done something really great with their offense and said, Steve Spurrier, why don't you come on over here and help us? But you've got to be humble to do that. You've got to be humble. This guy we have really thinks, when you watch him pontificate at these press conferences where he gets himself into all that trouble, this guy really thinks he's a smart guy. And the truth is, he's really not. He's really not. That's the truth. That's the sad thing, you know?
Well, Tony, I emailed you earlier today about Charlie Strong, do you remember? And, you know, if I was Butch Jones, if I wasn't going to walk away, he needs to go out and get somebody like him to run his defense. But if anybody from the big boosters will listen tonight, you need to go down there and put your money up and get rid of this guy and bring in Les Miles, is my opinion.
Les Miles, that's an interesting name. Thank you, my friend.
All right, see
you,
buddy.
I'll tell you the guy I would take if all things were being equal, and I can't believe we're having this conversation because I don't want to do this.
You have to now.
I would figure out a way to get James Franklin here because those people at Penn State are not happy with him. He did a hell of a job at Vanderbilt. I've always thought with his approach, if you gave a guy like that the keys here, he could get players and he could win games. Even though he's a horse's ass. A guy that can win like that at Vanderbilt, imagine what they could do in this state. I mean, imagine that.
Everything should be on the table at this point.
Absolutely.
And There's no idea too far out to discuss. I mean, I thought the Les Miles talk was pretty silly whenever somebody would bring it up a couple of weeks ago. I mean, at this point, I mean, that's probably, that wouldn't be my first choice, but I mean, people have to start to move on now at this point, because it's just, this clearly isn't working.
What do you think, Bino?
Just two quick things, Tony. Pete, the next time that we make a call, our last caller talked about development of players. I think we've probably seen some development of players, not to the level that we need to see, especially in this league. But I don't believe there's any question that whatever Butch did to connect to our players when they were younger in their career has stopped working. It's no longer effective. That's the only reason that you have a team full of upperclassmen that all of a sudden they're not as disciplined as they were.
Yeah.
They turn the ball over more. There's more penalties. They don't start well. That's the only reason that could happen, is that the message is no longer coming across. So I think that his way of motivating has worked with younger guys, but it's not working with upperclassmen. The other thing is, whenever we make a change, whenever that occurs, hope this next time we hire someone that I would be scared if they went to one of our rivals, one of our annual, every year in, year out rivals.
Well,
James Franklin would be on that list for me, and Lane Kiffin would be on that list for me.
Petrino is another guy, and I despise him. But that's what times like this do to you, though. They push you up against a wall where you say, okay, bring Lane Kiffin back here.
That's
absolutely where Bama was.
They were like, to hell with it. We're going over to Saban, and we're not leaving without him.
Push you, and you get pushed to a wall, and when you get shoved up against that wall, things happen to you. You're back here. Things happen to you, Russell, that ordinarily you would never do, think, or say. But you're up against the wall, redneck mother, you know?
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Let's go to the phones.
I'm ready for Petrino. I'll go up there and get him on my Harley right now. I'll bring it back.
Take a blondie with you. Blondie or two. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hello.
You're on the Smart Way Garza Law Firm fifth quarter fan reaction.
I have been a Butch Jones fan since day one, and I defended him even when Jalen Hurd left and everything else, but I'm over him.
Yeah, he's made it extremely hard to defend him anymore with the finish to this season and how he's reacted to it.
He's been a turd.
I mean, to not stand up there to the media tonight, just, you know. And then the stuff about how he wasn't appreciated. I mean, God, man, people are starving and it's Thanksgiving and you're making $4.4 million. And
I'm over him.
Doesn't it suck to feel like this?
It hurts.
Well. Do you have anything else for us tonight, ma'am? And I really appreciate hearing from you.
No, and I've never done this in my life, but it's just, thanks.
Well, I'm sorry we drove you to it, or he drove you to it.
You didn't do it.
Thank you. Have a great night, okay?
Bye.
Thank you. 865-200-5402, the Garza Law Firm. We got your six at the Garza Law Firm, ladies and gentlemen. You're dealing with a top 100 trial lawyer in the country. Garza Law Firm. Go online to garzalaw.com, whether it's personal injury, DUI, criminal defense. They've got it. They're going to take great care of you. Your case, your future is in great hands. And Marco's a guy who, whenever I talk to him, he's always like out of town, going to some seminar, going here, going there. Thank you to Marcos Garza for helping us to present portions of this torture tonight, along with GoSmartWayTN.net. SmartWay, ladies and gentlemen, from furniture to home audio, video, appliances, computers, gaming, cell phones, tires. And SmartWay, GoSmartWayTN.net, 8400 block of Kingston Pike, and with Christmas fast approaching, ton of great gift ideas there. Let's go back to our phones. 865-200-5402. Who else, before we go, well, not scare our next call in. I gotta stay disciplined here. Quote Buzz Peterson, discipline. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome to our next caller.
Hey, Tony. Greg down in Columbia, Tennessee.
Hey, Greg. Welcome in.
I'm disappointed like everyone else, man. I tell you, I don't get it. You know, you've got all these other teams that get these 3, 4, 5-star players. They've got guys that get hurt. They've got these second guys come in, and they do a good job. They're not out of position. They're not messing up. They're not causing fumbles, or they're not causing penalties. Do a great job. And what he has gotten over the last several years in recruits, you know, should have had us looking good toward the future. And when you got have these guys come in, they've not performed. And also, just look at Riley Ferguson. What this kid did from Memphis yesterday. He was in Tennessee a few years ago.
Yep.
I tweeted during the Memphis game, I tweeted out, just kind of wondering who is judging talent at the University of Tennessee. Something tells me we've got guys at UT that really can't judge talent very well. Otherwise, we would have had Riley Ferguson probably starting this year and throwing BBs, throwing arrows to the receivers like he did in that Memphis game yesterday. I don't get it. I mean, I'm disappointed. I've had enough of Butch Jones. He needs to step up, resign, ask himself, am I doing a job that's worth $4 million from a Tennessee resident? I don't think so. And for one thing, if I didn't do my job like others have stayed the night, my boss would fire me. And you shouldn't have any questions about something that happens like that. And I did want to mention, if I can find it real quick, on Twitter tonight, Derek Barnett made a comment on losing the Vanderbilt. It's unacceptable. I am embarrassed. Also, it was Josh Malone who said, everybody around here needs to self-check. This shouldn't have happened. This is ridiculous. So some of the players are coming out with strong words. I think the coaches ought to be listening to them.
It's really interesting. What you're going to get from that senior class, Bino, and this is going to be really interesting as well, Russell, and we've seen this in years past, when those guys run out of eligibility and they were a part of this thing, I think you'll see some guys talk here at the end of this, some of these seniors that are leaving.
Yeah.
The past couple of years,
those guys have been very tight-lipped.
Yes, they have been.
It used to be you could get them on the show and they'd talk, and the past couple of years it's been hard
to
do.
Can't get those guys.
But I've heard that behind the scenes, a lot of them, particularly the upperclassmen who've been around for a while and have heard all the slogans
Don't
and cliches
it.
And everything, they've kind of tuned that out. So I do wonder, it'll be interesting to see. We'll have to wait till after the bowl game until they can talk and everything, if they'll give us more of the straight dope as opposed to just the company line.
Yeah, which is Bimbino's point, because they're not gonna face repercussions. That's the other side of this. And Bino, your point for the last month or so, well, not even the last month, but really a good bit of this season is, it doesn't seem like people are hearing him anymore.
Yeah, I believe his message is falling on deaf ears now.
Greg, go ahead. I'm sorry, my friend. Continue.
Let me ask you guys a question. Watching tonight's game, did you feel that I was kind of observing both teams? Did you guys feel Vandy was in fourth gear and Tennessee stayed in second all through the game?
Greg, I told Tony when I first came on that the most disappointing thing for me of all was that a 5-6 Vanderbilt team wanted the game worse than we did. And it was pretty obvious in watching it that was the case.
Yes, sir, I agree. Well, thank you for taking my call, Tony. I enjoy what you do and what all you guys do.
Thank you.
We'll get through this, and hopefully he's headed to Houston.
Good talking to you. Thank you. It's going to be really interesting to see how that whole thing plays out. Russell, you're not going with the Houston thing, the wording and the...
No, I mean, it's really interesting, but I just can't believe that, you know, those statements are crafted by a sports information staffer, and I just can't believe that they would insert subliminal messages into a press release. I've never heard of that in collegiate sports. So, to me, it's just a coincidence. Now, that doesn't mean that Butch wouldn't take the Houston job. I think that would be, they've got money, you know, that they would probably be able to pay him comparable, you know, in the neighborhood of what he's making now. It would still be a step down to a lesser conference, but it would be the possibility for Butch Jones to enjoy success is better at Houston playing in that conference than it is at Tennessee playing in the SEC.
Back to our phones we go. 865-200-5402. If you want to get in with us tonight. You know, Bino, the something like that, him trying to jump to a place like that would really make sense because it would line up with what we've been hearing pretty much the last several weeks about how he wants to get out of here. And I've hinted around about it on the Daily Show, Bino, and in the blog, and people thought I was just pulling it out of thin air before, and people don't now. And like somebody here on the Periscope says, it's a pro town there. I mean, that's a perfect kind of spot for him.
Oh, sure. It's the perfect spot for him, Tony, and I'm sure, I feel pretty confident if they offered him, he would take the job. I just don't believe they're going to go in that direction.
Back to the phones we go.
It's not been their MO.
Would you guys trade Dan Mullen for him? The Vol Colonel's asking right now. Would you trade Dan Mullen for Butch Jones?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Mullen's done a fine job.
Let's get our next call in. Did Butch Jones say tonight in Nashville, I'm happy for the seniors, they'll end their career by going to 3 straight bowl games? That's what somebody's saying. But I don't know if he said it tonight. Let's get our next call. Hello and welcome in.
Hi.
Yes, hello, welcome.
Hey, Tony, this is Bobby in Jackson.
Hey, Bobby in Jackson, welcome in.
You know, I'm the guy that orgasms with his fingertips, but there's no Viagra strong enough. I am so disappointed. This is like a nightmare. When I was a kid growing up, we had a show called Fantastic Features, and this is pretty much equates to the way I felt when I watched that show. It scared the shit out of me, and I always ended up warning. And that's the way Tennessee's done me this year. I'm a double alumnus. I've fallen for 50 years, literally, since 67. Added up. Anyway, I'm just very disappointed. I'm disheartened. I'm ashamed that we put a guy like that in leadership position on our football team. But it was a mistake. Anybody can make one, but we've already made 2 or 3. That's the saddening part. And I do not know who we will buy to be the coach, but it should be someone that has Tennessee roots. I also honestly feel that in the interim, they should fire the entire staff, put Peyton Manning
Philip Fulmer, they've got nothing else to do, and they love the university, in charge of recruiting and in charge of being on a committee that hires the guy that leads us next. And I don't even leave Majors out. I mean, he's got blood. Put them all on a panel. Find our coach. Give me the money. Get an agent. Find our coach. Get us back where we belong. And that's the only thing I want to say, other than I really appreciate the opportunity from West Tennessee, well removed, but never disconnected from the University of Tennessee. Love you, Tony. Love your show. Love the balls. Damn it. Fix shit. Bye.
Now, in the midst of some profanity there, he said something really insightful there. If we have to make a change, the thing to do is to see if Peyton and Fulmer would be involved in IDing and selecting our next football coach.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that would go a long way towards healing some of the fans who are hurt from some of the, you know, the past, you know, this is three times in a row now that they've botched the hire, so to speak. And I think that if you brought in some names like that, Bino, it would go a long way towards establishing some trust in the fan base that they won't botch it again. But I want to go back to something he said. We welcome Tony back. Tony, you just missed quite the call from Bobby, who orgasmed through his fingertips, dropped about three profanities while you were out there. It was really kind of a highlight of the show. But one thing he did say, Bino, that struck me was that Butch Jones a mistake. And I know a lot of people are mad about Butch and probably won't take this correctly or the way I intend to it. But I don't know that Butch Jones was a mistake. Now, he might not have succeeded at the level we had hoped and wanted him to.
Right.
But the job, if he leaves tonight, the job is a much more attractive position today than it was when he took it in 2012, 2013 because of the hard work that he put in rebuilding it. Now, he might be a Mike Shula. He just can't get it over the hump. But if you have to make a change, I think that it's an attractive job.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to get a very good head coach, and a very good head coach could come in here and turn it around quickly without a prolonged rebuild.
Yeah, I think that's well stated, Russell. And when I look back at what we've done since Coach Fulmer, we made a bad luck hire in Lane Kiffin. I'm not sure that was the wrong hire. It was a bad luck hire in that his dream job came open 1 year later. Went through 14 candidates and fell to him. Derek Dooley was an out of timing hire.
Yep.
Outside a normal hiring cycle. That's a mistake hire. I don't think that Butch was, I think Butch is the wrong guy. But I don't think that that was just an absolute botch of a hire.
Totally agree. Yep.
Even though today is a disaster and it's going to be a messy divorce, but his tenure as a whole was not a disaster.
No. You know what he is, and this is what we thought he might be. At the end of the day, he is our Ron Zook.
Yeah.
And Ron Zook's at the table there. And here's the truth. See, Butch is not capable of this because he won't do it. But Garantano, if you get the right quarterback coach, for instance, if you were to go down to Mississippi State and tell Dan Mullen, hey, look, you're a Pennsylvania boy. You turn Dak Prescott into an absolute superstar. You come to Tennessee, we're going to give you that very same type of guy. You can get to work with him. You will mold him. Somebody on Twitter just gave me this, and it's the truth. You go to him and you give that guy, those guys all knew who Garantano is.
Sure.
These coaches out here like a Chip Kelly who might want back in, but he doesn't want back in right now. According to somebody I talked to,
he basically
he's going to make the NFL fire him before he comes back. That's the deal with Chip Kelly. Chip That's what I'm hearing on the within the industry.
Well,
go ahead.
The Brian Kelly today, according to Yahoo, is putting out feelers of his own.
Yeah, he wants out.
I mean, and he's had a terrible year.
I wouldn't take
over Butch?
Well,
the guy's been in a national championship game.
I would take Bino and Fab Five Freddy over Butch right now. Bino, you don't take that the wrong way, do you?
Oh, no, not at all.
If Chip Kelly got our job, I would just as soon stick a gun in my mouth. Let's go. Not that I mean it to sound the way it sounds, but let's get our next call in here on your Smartway Garza Law Firm fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello and welcome.
What's up, Tony?
Hey, welcome in. Thank you for being there.
Man, it's hard to take. What I want to know is where was the damn eye discipline tonight with the D? I mean, I and I was at the Missouri game, and to have and to let these teams just keep running it right down your damn throat is an absolute travesty, and it. And y'all talked about it and hit on it. This whole year has just been, and I went to the last home game and I went to the first home game. And we left at halftime of the App State game.
Did you really? Wow.
But to have this type of talent, to have a guy that's 300 yards away from the all-time, I mean, you know how many amazing backs have come through this program, and to have a guy that and to have a falling out with him, and he leaves your team in the middle of the year to come out after the whole, you know, we're ready to hit somebody, we're ready to hit another team, and come out and play like that against App State, who everybody thought was going to be a. You know, this App State team that was, and they weren't. And the Vautech game, and then having your fourth string or third string quarterback having to fire your team up, it's just weird, man. I don't know if he just feeds them too much shit in their ear that they don't, it's like just let them fucking go out there and play, you know? Excuse the language, but
no, that's the whole kit and caboodle with this guy is they're not listening to him anymore. In fact, they haven't listened to him all year, and it's almost as if they've tuned him out. I always thought about him that he could be mildly amusing if he ever really had terrific success here. I'm just talking about from a fan standpoint and from the standpoint of what we do. But you knew the minute it turned on this guy with all that nonsense that he was just going to be so tone deaf that it just swallowed him. And I wonder if internally that has gone on. I do know that Bob Shoop thinks he is an absolute moron. He thinks that Butch Jones is a complete moron. I can pretty much tell you that through multiple sources that their relationship, I alluded to this last week, but their relationship is pretty sour. To this point, the whole thing about watching them play, do you guys realize tonight that Vanderbilt put the most points on them they have since 1971? That's the most points Vanderbilt scored in a football game since 1971. Are you all aware of that? Does anybody?
Yeah. Okay. An SEC game.
SEC football. Vanderbilt tonight had an all-time night. They, in 2 years, are 2-2 against Butch Jones. Now, that is a reason to terminate the guy. And I'm not into terminating people. I mean, I hate that. I hate instability. I don't like, I don't like what it does to all of us. I don't like what it does to this community. I don't like what it does to the fan base. I hate instability. The problem is we don't have any athletic director right now. Problem is we just named a chancellor. Problem is we have a booster base that's divided on what to do about the athletic director. So we can't even get that in its proper gear. But I do know this. Butch Jones, I feel pretty confident in saying he's just not going to make it here. He's just not. So.
Well, like y'all said, he doesn't have it. He just doesn't have it. And you're right. He's not going to make it.
No, he's not.
And you might as well, you know, fold it up now and figure it out. I mean, yeah, you said since 70, and no coach has lost to them twice since the early 20s.
That was it. Early 20s. A top 25 Tennessee team hasn't lost to Vanderbilt since 1920. Six, I think, is the number.
It's never happened in the modern era.
Yes.
This is football history that this guy has managed to create.
Well, man, what's the holdup on the AD? I mean, what's going on with that?
I don't know. I'm hearing conflicting things behind the scenes. I don't know. I wish I knew. I don't know.
Well, and I've seen it before, and I hate it for these guys, these outgoing seniors. I mean, the talent that we have on that team, and yet we've had injuries and big-time injuries, and, you know, a lot, everybody else has them, but these guys going out and the talent, it just, you know, it's like makes you wonder, damn, if we just had somebody in here,
yep,
knew what they were doing. We'd be in the freaking playoff right now.
Well, let's look at it this way. Bob Shoup left Penn State because he thought, I got to get to a place that's got great talent. He basically picked his place. And the place where he ran away from is now heading to the periphery of the national playoff with two losses. They are sitting right where we would have been sitting going into next week's SEC championship game as a 10-2 football team. Even with all the injuries and everything that went on, if this thing was dead level, right where it should be, 10-2, Tennessee all week could have heard about, if they beat Alabama, you got to put them in that playoff. Penn State's going to hear that. If they beat Wisconsin, and the thing about Penn State is they're going to get jumped by Ohio State. That's just the way it's going to be. Ohio State's way, not jumped by them, Ohio State's way up there, ranked higher than them. But the point is, we could have been in the conversation. Now, where are we? Where are we right now? Where are we right now?
Football purgatory.
Yeah, that's exactly where we are. Hey, thanks for the call, man. Thanks for
appreciate it, Tony.
Yeah, appreciate your passion. I mean, one thing.
We're in the conversation for the belt bowl. That's where we're at.
I mean,
did you guys think we could do that? That we could play our way from the Sugar Bowl? How did that happen? Did that happen tonight?
But do you want to go play a team like Tulsa or somebody with a good offense that's going to put up 1,000 yards on you and suffer another humiliating defeat at this point? I mean, at least if you had gone to the Sugar Bowl and you gave up 1,000 yards to Oklahoma, it's somewhat excusable. Well, it's Oklahoma. They're a good team. They're about to go get pantsed by a MAC team in some meaningless bowl game. I mean, this is not over yet.
Guys, I feel as bad about our program tonight as I have since Lane Kiffin walked out of here and I knew that we were going to hire outside of a hiring cycle. Because we've got two choices. We're either going to have a guy next year that probably shouldn't be here, and you know it's not the right guy, or we're going to have the wrong people hiring our next one. It's a really bad situation.
You know, Ron Wright Wannabe has a really good, interesting take, and he's a pretty thoughtful guy. Jim is, and this feels like, and we weren't doing a show then, but this feels like the night Tennessee went to Lexington, and Lexington had that, Lexington, and Kentucky had that kid at quarterback.
Wide receiver, yeah.
Who knew six plays, who they threw on the field on a Tuesday afternoon on a lark and beat Derek Dooley.
And our offense was so bad that we couldn't, and tonight our defense is so bad.
So bad.